three benches filled. I'm gonna choose one tonight, and then there's gonna be four from the congregation. We'll start with hymn number 63. After we pray, well, would you lead us in prayer?
Yes, Lord, thank you this night, Lord, for bringing us safely to the house tonight, Lord. Bless us and keep us, Lord, and give Christian the message to give them the message of Acts, Lord. Give them the touch of the Spirit, Lord, and guide them towards all the things that you need to make us known of, Lord. And Lord, bless the service to our hearts and to our souls, Lord. Pray for those people who couldn't make it out tonight, Lord. Pray for them, Lord, Mr. Alton, Lord. And give them the Spirit, bring them into the house next upon the time, Lord. And Lord, remember our world, Lord. Give wisdom to the world leaders, Lord, that they may come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord, Lord. Firstly, and Lord, they may direct their countries into godly laws, to enact godly laws, and bring the people in line with Thee, Lord, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Pray for the families and the bereaved of the Indonesia air crash, Lord. Help those people, bereaved, Lord, and heal them, Lord, and use it as a way to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross and saving grace also, Lord. And Lord, with the people that we pray for that are sick, Lord, with Gemma, Lord, and with Louise, Lord, and Sharon, Lord, and all Mary, Lord, help them also, Lord, and heal them, Lord, and help them, Lord, and bring them closer to Thee, Lord, that they may come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, Lord. Bless us tonight, Lord, and give us and give us bless our service, Lord. Bless each and every head that's covered, Lord, for Thy honor, for Thy glory, for Jesus Christ, amen.
Hymn number
63.
whence a healing stream doth flow, let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will ever give to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Turn tonight to two Psalms, Psalm 100 and Psalm 101. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 101. I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set the wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privileged slander of his neighbour, him will I cut off, him that hath a high look, and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, and that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh the deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for the Bible reading. I can't thank Steve for that one. That one was all Will. Thank you, sir. For Norman for this morning. Again, we appreciate Christy coming up and leading the service in the evening. We're continuing on through Acts, I do believe. But just want to remind you all to make sure that you get one of the little white prayer lists, and do take even 5 or 10 minutes in prayer to call those names out to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very, very important. I'm thankful for the reminder, Will's prayer earlier on for wee Shannon. Haven't heard much about her since.
She's home.
That has been an awful Christmas for that wee girl. Please do continue to pray for her and for Mary. And don't worry about me. That's from singing and speaking this morning and enjoying the singing there, knowing that I don't have to speak for another 15 or 20 minutes this evening. So I'm good. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. They do send their regards and they do miss being here, and they would be here if they could. Please do pray for them. Don't forget Esther as well. I'm sure she's had a lot in her mind with Mary being ill and the rest of her grandkids and her son-in-law too. Please do remember that, and please do take time to look through all of the prayer list. It's important, especially private prayer requests. Those are probably some of the most serious, the ones we don't want to give details about that are very, very important to us. So please do remember that. We have thanks for Taylor getting home, for Joanne and her dad Stephen, and wee Jarvis getting back to Taiwan. There was one more. What was it? Can't think. No, it's all gone. But please do pray for each other. Really important. There's a lot going on in the world. Please do pray for the USA. Please do pray for us over here. All, what is it, four of our leaders. I think at least four of them need a good shake. Goodness. Someone once asked, what makes for the best entertainment in the film industry? And they said, a film where the bad guys appear to win, give the good guys a hiding, and then the good guys rally, come back and win for a grand finale, a happy ever after ending. And I know that's what we look for. We would, part of us just loves that. But we are not promised a happy ending in this world. Even with the way things are going, I am praying for a happy interlude before the Lord takes everybody home, gives the world maybe another bit of a chance. Please do pray for America and for Britain, for China, for Russia, for Europe, for Africa, for Korea, North and South, Japan, Australia, New Zealand, especially for Israel, especially for Israel. Please do be much in prayer. There is a lot going on, and if someone was ever to write it down and publish it in a book, I guarantee you, you couldn't invent a story of the way things are going right now. Please do pray for our leaders. I personally would love to see the bad guys all rounded up and given what was that TV show, Orange is the New Black. I would like to see them all in orange jumpsuits. But the Lord knows. The Lord can allow these things to happen to teach us a good lesson, to teach us what is important in this world. And what's important is this right here, is trusting in Jesus Christ. Good Christian fellowship, good Christian songs, and I'm looking forward to a bit of good Christian preaching in about 5 or 10 minutes. So please do be much in prayer. Don't forget even to pray for yourself. The reading that Norman brought us this morning said, talk to God about everything. With prayer, with supplication, that's pleading with God, please God, and thanksgiving, thanking Him for answered prayer as well. Really, really important. But there's one other little verse in there, I think it's just the verse prior to that, and it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, or of good report, if there's any virtue in them, if there's any praise in them, it says, think on these things. Fill your heart and your mind with good things. Anyway, I'm not preaching, Christy is. Please do pay attention to the announcements. Don't forget our extended, in fact everybody's here, was here this morning, you've heard the announcements already. Don't forget our extended ministry of all the folks that get CDs on the road here and in the waterside, the people that listen in on the website. Don't forget Brother Stan and the folks up in Bangor, Brother Bissett, Pastor Asquith, Brother Hayne. I'm forgetting the titles, don't worry about the titles, and Phil Seeley over in America, and Alan Fox, and there are many hundreds and perhaps thousands of men, not just in America, but right the way around the world, that are prepared to stand up and to be counted for the cause of Christ. Please do pray for these souls. The days have never been darker than they are right now. Please do be much in prayer. To that end, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get Christy back up again. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for these interesting days, Lord. And I pray, Father, that your will would be done. We know that you want many, many souls. You want everybody to be saved, Lord. But we know that whilst many are called, only a few ever choose you. I pray for you, Lord, even now that people would have their eyes open to the wickedness in the world and that they would see that the only refuge they really have, that nothing and nobody can take away from them, is your Son, Christ Jesus. I pray you, Lord, for a cleansing and a cooling and a comforting hand upon us, and our brethren right the way across the world. We pray you, Lord, for inspiration, especially for Christy, for us this evening, for Stan and the rest of the preachers that were mentioned. I pray you, Lord, for protection for our families. Lord, we certainly want the best for them. Pray you, Lord, for our countries, for Britain, for America, for Israel, for China, for, goodness, Lord, all of these countries, for Australia particularly too, Lord, please put your good hand upon them at this particular time. Please, Lord, bless this time in your presence. Inspire Christy, give him the words to say. Just keep foolish thoughts out of his head and keep him, Lord, I pray, focused upon the message that he has for us this evening. Bless him and keep him, and Lord, us too, and your children wherever they sit down, Lord, wherever they open their Bibles, wherever they take time to just to be there. We love you and praise you. We ask this, our private prayer requests to you, Father, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother.
Another favorite from anywhere.
Number one.
Blacker.
Black.
You coming up?
I got the glasses.
I can let you mind.
With shine of acclamation and
You can choose the closing. Oh, that's the one, is it? Is that the one you said we would sing this evening?
He promised never to leave.
Bibles, we're in Acts chapter 14 tonight. I think we'll be halfway after we finish this chapter. That's through the book of Acts, not through the sermon. But Acts 14, our topic tonight is the bold church. The bold church. Or the church of boldness, whichever you prefer. I think throughout the titles I've been saying the church and then the characteristic, but you can have it either way. Reading verses 1 through 7 tonight. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Amen. And that's our text. We'll work verse by verse as we typically do. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we've set aside, and pray, you Lord, that you would be one of our number and that you would work in each one of our hearts and minds, especially in the heart and mind of the preacher. Please bless Christy as he speaks. Please bless our brothers and sisters across the world as they preach and teach, respectfully, Lord. And Lord, please, I pray, soften our hearts this evening. Take and use this as a time of shaping and changing, of correcting or nipping in the bud, Lord. We're here for you to do whatever it is that you need to do. And I pray, you Lord, whenever you come to speak to each one of us in that still small voice, that you would find a willing and tender heart, Lord. Bless our time together, and Lord, we love you and thank you. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. As we start every new study, we look at just a brief synopsis of the previous, and it was the continuing in grace church, or the church that is continuing in grace. I think I gave you two titles. It was that or the publishing church, but we see the reaction to Paul the Apostle's message and sermon as he looked through the Old Testament and focused their minds and of the portions of that piece of scripture and pointed it towards Jesus. We see that some got saved in the service, and some even chased them after and begged them to preach to them the following Sunday. We went on, and those that rejected Paul made a great claim, or great words that again have stuck with me since last week, that they judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. See, God gave the payment, but they rejected God. God didn't reject them. The offer of salvation was to all. It ends up that the people, the Jews, stirred up all the devout and honorable women and men of the city, the Jewish leaders, and they expelled them from the city. So here they move then on to Iconium. And the last verse that we have is the disciples were filled with joy and full of the Holy Ghost. Brings us to our text, and here they are in Iconium. And as we continue the study of Paul's first missionary journey, we see him and Barnabas move from Antioch and Pisidia, now coming here into Iconium. Many scholars call Iconium a melting pot of culture. We see there's Jews, there's Gentiles, and even speculate that there's some Roman colonists living in Iconium. We see then their first port of call is the synagogue. It is where they know that people are gathered together to hear the reading of the Old Testament. Paul, in his previous message, took parts of the Old Testament and stood up and preached and proclaimed Jesus through that. And again, it was commonplace or practice in the time that strangers to the synagogue would be offered the chance to give an encouraging word to those that were seated and gathered. And Paul didn't refuse this opportunity either. And Barnabas, it says they both spoke and so spake unto the Jews and to the Gentiles. The characteristics of faithful servants of God can often be seen through their journey. And here the characteristic that we're noticing or looking at or focusing upon is boldness. We see the boldness here in these missionaries. I think of George Mueller. When I think of George Mueller and all that he had and his journey, or the lack of what he had, the characteristics that immediately jump to my mind is obedience. When he was instructed, or when he knew of a need of a young child who was abandoned by their parents or whose parents couldn't provide for them, in spite of his lack of money or space for that child, he obeyed and took them on. When there was no food or when there was no money to build other houses to make more room, he made an earnest call to say, "I won't tell any man, but I'll pray about it." So another characteristic was faith and prayer. And we see the many characteristics, and not all at once in someone's life, at different times, and different Christians have different characteristics. And so Paul and Barnabas had boldness here. And Christians are to be bold. And being bold is being fearless, it's being courageous, it's taking risks, it's putting your own safety at the back of your mind to fulfill a duty. It's being daring and being brave. But Christians aren't just purely to be bold on its own, because boldness without wisdom, without discernment, results in foolishness. I have a picture in my mind with boldness without wisdom, without direction of the Holy Spirit. It's like a dog chasing a vehicle. It's bold to chase a vehicle, but what's it going to do when it gets the vehicle? Nothing. It's going to get in front of it and get run over. Christians ought to have boldness, but coupled with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we see here. Coupled with joy, coupled with wisdom from above. Verse 1, we see the powerful preaching in Iconium. Leaders in the synagogue and the Jewish men and women of the day have expelled them from the city of Antioch in Pisidia. Then they come here, they focus again on preaching the word of God. They don't go, they're not carrying the story over from the previous journey or the previous mission. They're just coming here fresh. And what I like about this is they preach one message. There's a congregation that's mixed, the scripture tells us, of Jews and of Greeks. And they preach one message. They don't preach one message to the Jewish side and one message to the Greek side. They preach one gospel message. It's one presentation. And just like it was one gospel for all in these days, so it is today. It's not one gospel for Catholics and one gospel for Protestants. It's not one gospel for Mormons and one for Jehovah's Witnesses. One for Christians, one for Muslims. It's one Jesus Christ for all, the way, the truth, and the life. The only way unto the Father. And it's one message that works for all. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The proclamation of this gospel resulted in a great multitude of Jews and Greeks both believing. What a success this story, this preaching was. Souls' hearts were made ready by the Holy Spirit following these men as they faithfully proclaimed the word of God. These souls had been obviously renowned for their religious traditions, for their religious ceremonies, and had an inkling towards God, towards a higher power at the very least. But when they had seen the gospel preached in its fullness, then they truly came to the foot of the cross. There was some amongst them. The gospel is divisive, and it divides here as well. There's some amongst them that are unbelieving. Not all believed, but again, it wasn't all the Jews that stirred up the Gentiles. Verse number 2 says, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren, against Paul and Barnabas. The message that they had been preaching, these unbelieving Jews had been criticizing. They had But it says they made their minds evil affected. They literally poisoned their minds against anything that Paul and Barnabas stood for. Not only attacked the message, but attacked the messengers. Paul and Barnabas, not the first time that they faced oppression, verse number 3 we're moving to. They stay there a long time. They met oppression with boldness, and they speak boldly, which gave testimony unto the word of grace that they had been telling about. And mighty miracles, signs and wonders were done by their hands. You see, it took a long time whilst there was murmuring in the crowd and whilst there was a plan for to get these people out and stop them speaking as the congregation started to believe and a growing number were paying heed to the words that were spoken. It wasn't truly a threat of violence just yet, but rather just vocal heckling or vocal disagreement. But soon that would turn, the tide would turn. We see then in verse number 4 that the city is divided. And whilst there is a great binding of families, binding of Christians, binding of friends who all point in the same direction, the gospel is the great divider. The word of God sharper than any two-edged sword. And here we see that part go with those that believe, the apostles, and part of the city cling to those dissenters, those Jews, who had been stirring up this crowd. But preaching still works. Preaching still works, and we're turning to 1 Corinthians just to read a verse. You can turn there, you can listen. It's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And that's what Paul said to the church at Corinth, and it's still true today. Preaching still works. When a man of God filled with the Spirit of God opens the Word of God and faithfully proclaims it, then the Spirit of God can fulfill the will of God in men and women's hearts. And that's what happened here. Souls got saved when Paul and Barnabas stood faithfully and proclaimed in the face of oppression that Jesus Christ is Lord and willing to save whosoever will. Souls need to hear to get saved. And Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We don't need no new methods. We just need to stick to the old ways and the old paths and God's method of ministry. We don't need new technology. We don't need new entertainment. We just need to stick to the word of God. We have the continual persecution against the church. Verses 2 through 6, and I've already jumped ahead of myself and hit on some of them already. But don't we live in a day or a world where we worship and praise dead saints, but yet we persecute those that are alive? What a sad thought that is. That we could even look at ourselves and say, yes, we are, or certain religions or sects of religions are tugging their forelocks to those. If they had been alive today, they would be looking to stone and oust. Not only do we persecute those who stand for God and stand for truth and stand for the gospel and proclaim it, yet we try and get others to join our team and persecute them also. We try to get the crowd stirred up just like these Jews did today. But yet they stayed. They stood in the face and they looked the oppressors directly in the face and proclaimed Jesus. But it didn't stay like this the whole time, because they knew when it was time to walk away. They knew that when threats turned violent, when that murmuring turned the very real threat of their lives being forfeit, they knew it was time to move on. And there comes a time where, you know, you just don't need to fight that battle. Think of a lion. A lion's bold, probably one of the boldest animals in the jungle. But when the lion and his pride are camped up beside water and a flock of elephants come to get a drink, they look the other way. They don't pick a fight with elephants. They know that not all battles need to be fought. See, we can win battles, and I think we hinted on this or said it a few messages ago. We can win arguments, but we can lose souls. And what would you rather win, Christian? I know what Jesus would rather have us win. But they stood firm because they knew that the Christians that would come after him after them would need softer ground to be able to stand in the face of this oppression. But the miraculous works that were done with the hands here, the signs and wonders at the end of verse number 3, confirmed the word that they had spoken. And that word was grace. The word of His grace, it says. And that's the only word whereby these Gentiles and Jews could be saved in an equal setting. It's through God's grace. Not through any religion or not through any man-made preaching. Any country's proverbial standards. But only through the grace of God and through the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. Jewish leaders took up a very public role in making these the enemy. And it worked. They convinced a fair number of people that they ought to hate Paul and Barnabas and the message that they were preaching, that these were wicked men come to destroy their land and their religion and their families. And then they started to plot against their lives. Verse number 5. But I don't know how they're aware of it, but they become aware of it in verse number 6. And that's when they say it's time to go. Our job here is done. We've planted enough seeds, they've been watered, fruit has come forth. But now it's time to move on. We have the faithful persistence, point number 3, of these gospel preachers. How did they deal with oppression, opposition? They stood bold and they faced it head on. They proclaimed that we shall not be moved just through words alone. They abode a long time, verse number 3 tells us. They spoke boldly, they didn't get discouraged and didn't let it steal that joy from the previous chapter and from the previous mission. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. But it didn't say that no weapon shall be formed. Just said that those weapons won't be effective whereby the men and women want to achieve by creating them. Doesn't mean that they won't have a plan to destroy us or break us down. But the devil won't try and put things in our path to discourage and get us off course. But it will not prosper if we stick to God's word, if we continue in prayer, and we submit our will to His. It will not prosper. It's a promise in Isaiah 54:17. There will be oppression. There was oppression in these days. There was oppression multiple times before they crucified Jesus. Jesus fled through the crowds multiple times. There was times when they tried to take Him and crown Him king. And he escaped through the crowds because He knew that wasn't God's will for Him. There was also times after that where they were planning to kill Him then and there. After He had preached with authority. After He had exposed the religious leaders of the day as hypocrites. They were looking to kill Him. And He had to flee through the crowds that were thereabouts. And God can take their weapons, although they mean it for bad, and turn it for good. Look at the very weapon that they used against Jesus. It is the symbol of our religion today, the cross. It's a symbol of our salvation today. See, they meant it for bad, but God used it for good. They killed one man, yes, but He arose from the grave, and through that, many souls today have life everlasting. Joseph, his brethren meant to sell him into slavery as something bad. They had bad intentions towards him, but God took that and used it for good. He sent Joseph there in advance of a famine coming into the land and told Joseph to start preserving food because there was a famine coming. And He sent him there to save many lives, Joseph said, just like Jesus. Because of Joseph, his family, and his faithfulness to God, his family survived. And not only his family, but many other families. See, the church needs boldness. And what a day today requires boldness. See, they might not be attacking churches right now, but give it a month or two when the spread continues and the number of COVID cases continue to rise, and they're going to start pointing the fingers at all those churches that have kept their doors open and haven't moved online. And do we want to give up the right for church? They only haven't come for it just yet because of all our forefathers that have taken the fight on and have shed their blood for it. They knew that there would be uproar. But there's a time coming. They'll come for it during this. They've closed the bars. They've closed the restaurants. They've closed all those points where souls can get together and just talk about the illogical decisions that have been made. And maybe then souls will start dissenting to it. But church, Christian, they're coming for us. They're coming. If not now, the foundations are certainly being laid for the persecution that's coming. Mm-hmm. And that will require boldness. Boldness to stand. Boldness maybe to just say, Lord, my life isn't mine. You bought me with a price. And if I have to go to my grave here and now, well, so be it. Amen, and not a woman, if anyone's seen that prayer. But so be it. Do we have that boldness today? I don't know if we entirely do. And maybe it's not even fear, but it's probably a lack of wisdom and discernment as well. Some people just appear to be bold for the sake of it. And you can really mess up your testimony by just being bold and nothing else. Think of a man who was at a funeral or the deathbed of a Christian in this church. And he started preaching about that soul going to hell when they were breathing their last breaths. And what a time for compassion if there ever was one. Rather than preaching about the condemnation and hell and lake of fire. Rather, what about talking about the love of Jesus? What are we talking about the cross of Calvary and the great escape? But sometimes, Christian, it just takes us to zip our lips, and that takes boldness as well. When everything within us is screaming, say, give your opinion, share what you think about that. You know that they're wrong, just say it. Sometimes that takes a bit of boldness to say, I don't need to talk right now. I don't need to say this right now. Let God handle it. Just pray about it and let God do the work in the heart. That takes boldness. It takes boldness. We ought to be bold both ways. Bold in speaking forth and bold in shutting up. Sometimes the Spirit says, don't say a word. Don't say a word. Think of the two midwives who were charged to kill all the babies that were 2 years and younger when Jesus was born. Had they went back and said, we just didn't do it because we knew it's Jesus, their lives would have been forfeit. They would have been killed on the spot. They went back and said, these Egyptian women are strong. They don't need our help with giving birth. Shifra and Pua, wasn't it? And because of that, the child Jesus was able to survive the onslaught of the king of the day because he was under threat that there was a new king being born. But that was their time of boldness to say, I'm not saying it. I'm not telling them what it is. These are strong. And because of that, they're remembered in the Word of God. So with that note, I'm going to be bold and shut up. Let us be a bold church. Bold and ready and preparing for the fight that lies ahead. And certainly it's coming a lot quicker than I ever expected. The onslaught of Christians is coming again, just like we've seen in Acts. And it's coming from the top. From the government down. So don't put your trust in this government, but the one that shall be everlasting. Anyone got a closing hymn? Monica, you choose.
I have the same as Christine, but if no one has one, I'll give another. But do you have one, Will?
Will always has one.
377.
377. Let's stand as we sing this.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring ones lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently, he will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Dine in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like worry that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
You know, it takes boldness for us to step out in faith and try and meet the need of another soul. Just to look that soul in the face and not say it with your mouth, but say it with your actions, that I know you have a need. I know that you're lacking in this area. That takes boldness. And I'm thinking specifically of, in my point where it takes boldness to not say what everything in you is saying that you need to say of Jesus, when the woman caught in the very act of adultery, when they brought him and said, Moses' law tells us that she ought to be stoned to death. He just kept writing in the sand. When the law could have justified him saying, yep, cast your stones. But he didn't say it. He showed mercy and he showed grace. He said, ye that are without sin, let them cast the first stone. Amen. That takes boldness. You close us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wee bit of time that we've spent in your presence and pray that you would bless it as we go our separate ways. Thank you, Lord, for the message you gave to Krista. I pray, Father, please, that we would be emboldened, that we would consider the fact that someday there will be no other chances, there will be no other opportunities. So let us be bold and wise and, Lord, supply our needs. Just love you and thank you. That they would see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus.